Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like this.
Hey, what's up, Internet? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow, not only by learning new things, but by connecting their work to big ideas and overcoming the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. In today's interview episode of Getting Work to Work, I have a chat with Australian comedy filmmaker Goff of BeerNutsProductions.com about his latest film, Prostitution, The Untold Story. We talk about everything from Batman and the universal appeal of Michael Caine, being able to not take yourself too seriously, the timeless nature of nonsense, and the essence of great comedy. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/212. Goff, welcome to Getting Work to Work for the third time, I believe. But for those of you that don't know who you are, why don't you share a little bit about who you are and the chaos that you make into art?
Sure thing. I like that, the chaos I make into art. I might put that on a business card or a t-shirt. I like it a lot. But as people can probably tell from my accent, I'm from Australia, and I'm a filmmaker, and I run a production company called Beer Nuts Productions, and we make movies, we do audio downloads, we've even got a few books. So like you say, the chaos I produce, it's a little bit of everything, but I mainly specialize in comedy sort of stuff because I really love making people laugh. So most of my films and the audio work and all that sort of stuff mainly is comedy based.
Nice. So before we get into, you know, the meat of the interview, if Australia was embodied in the character of a superhero, who would it be?
Well, who's the laziest superhero you can think of? I'm just trying to think. None of them are real, probably, I don't know. Actually, I was doing an interview on another podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I was referred to as the daredevil of the film industry, obviously because of my lack of eyesight. They said, you're like the daredevil of the film industry. So I was like, I'll go with that, because he got to hook up with Jennifer Garner, and that'd be okay. So, you know, so... I'm cool with being the daredevil of the Australian film industry, so yes.
Nice. And then eventually you would become Batman, because in that universe, Ben Affleck would become Batman.
Oh, yes, of course. And, well, I'm just trying to think, obviously Batman would have had a woman that he was trying to save. So who was the young woman? Was it Nicole Kidman in that one, or am I way wrong? I think I'm wrong.
That's maybe a decade or two ago.
Yeah.
That was Batman Forever.
Ah, is that the one I'm thinking of? There's been so many. I get them all confused now. I know Michael Caine was an Alfred, and they should have kept him as Alfred. He was a really good Alfred. He's just the perfect Alfred. Why they didn't keep using Michael Caine, I've got no idea.
Maybe when Christopher Nolan stopped doing it, you know, Michael Caine followed Chris Nolan.
I just thought Michael Caine was just born for that role. He just is Alfred. He's an old English Cockney man. So it just he's just born to play that role. So I didn't understand, because I think he only ever did the one. I don't know. Batman's not really a strength of mine, but I'm pretty sure he just did the one. But anyway, that's really probably something that he loses no sleep over. So I don't know why I even care.
Well, you know, I appreciate you at least attempting to answer the question, because Getting Work to Work has now become a Batman trivia show.
You're going to get inundated with emails from angry nerds going, how dare you don't know this sort of thing? So, yeah.
Hey, all it matters is we don't need to worry about digitally altered mustaches.
That's very true. Very true indeed.
So speaking of film, Prostitution.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about your latest film.
Oh, I thought you meant just what you were doing this afternoon. You were into a bit of prostitution. But no, you are correct, Chris. Beer Nuts Productions' latest film is called Prostitution, The Untold Story. And I thought that I was the perfect man to tell that story. So I did a bit of a expose, I suppose you would call it. of the seedy underbelly of the Gold Coast where I lived. And yeah, there was a subtle home invasion took place, and I got to know some of the hookers quite well, and it was all very interesting. Of course, you've actually seen a sneak preview of the film as well, so you might be able to add to my terrible synopsis.
I think it was a good synopsis, and I appreciate that you went to experts, both in the people that frequent and the people that study.
That's true. I might just add at this point, it's a mockumentary, so everything I'm saying is total BS. The film exists, but it's a mockumentary of the prostitution industry. So, and I did it in a style of like a 60 Minutes type of a style. Like, we have a lot of those sorts of current affairs, 60 Minutes type shows here in Australia, and they annoy me beyond words. I just cannot stomach those kind of shows. And so I thought, as well as, you know, making fun out of the prostitution industry, but also I think I mainly make fun out of the men who hire, which was my goal, was to make fun out of the men who hire, not so much out of the ladies themselves who are doing the work. But I also wanted to make fun out of those sorts of a current affairs, 60 Minutes type shows, because they annoy me so much. So I thought I would, you know, have a bit of a gentle dig at them as well.
Yeah, which I thought you did really well, because you capture that, I don't know if annoyance is the right word, but just that tenacity of following, stalking, and just prying to the point of destroying lives.
You know, I'd go with annoying. You were right the first time. And that was I mean, like I say, here in Australia, I mean, they've got a TV show here in Australia where, like, guys chase down, like, your dodgy builders and your shonky car dealers and all that sort of stuff. And while I am not advocating any crime should be ever committed by anybody, I think there's a time and a place, and I don't think chasing someone down the street with a camera is really the time or place to have a discussion about them ripping off a little old lady. You know what I mean? I think there's a better way to go about it. So I thought I'd make fun out of that sort of style of television while doing a mockumentary on prostitution.
So where do you come up with an idea like this? Is prostitution a big thing in Australia, or is it just, you know, just an idea that popped into your head one night?
Well, it's a big thing in my life. I mean, you know, on the holidays, we're coming up to the holiday season, you know. No, I'm joking. No, look. I love choosing subjects that people are really sensitive about and ripping those subjects apart. So as you've seen in the past, I've done it with pornography. I've done it with the drugs. I've done it with the fitness industry. But yeah, so I love getting subjects that people are really sensitive about and then just making fun of it and ripping it apart. And sort of my point being is that people get way too emotionally involved and are way too uptight about things that they needn't get uptight or upset about. You know what I mean? So that's why I love pulling these sorts of subjects apart, to sort of show people that there's a humorous side to this kind of thing, and let's not just, you know, get all upset and uptight and carry on like idiots. Let's just relax a little bit and have a bit of a laugh, you know?
Well, it's interesting too, because as I started watching the film, you know, you got your title card, and I'm just like, I feel that almost Western conservative feeling and rise up in me, like, oh my gosh, where's he going to go with this? What's he going to do? You know, am I going to have to shield my precious eyes? You know, and then right out of the gate, you know, you disarm, you know, all of those kind of weird, I don't know, ideals that pop up into my head. I'm like, yeah, I really am going to have a laugh about this. This is hilarious.
No, well, look, and that's, to be quite honest with you, Chris, that's the biggest compliment I can receive, because that is precisely what I want to achieve. So the fact that that's how you felt when you first started watching it, and that's how you felt and you began watching it, then that's exactly what I'm after. So I want people to be like, oh my God, what's he going to do with this particular subject? And then they watch it and they laugh and they having a good time, you know, and that's the whole point. And like I say, the pornography one's the same, the war on drugs that I did's the same. Oh, the environment's another one that I did that people get really upset, uptight about is the environment. So I did one of, you know, ripping that apart. And I always like to as well make fun of both sides of the argument, because I'm a big believer in if you're going to make fun of something, you have to make fun of it in every aspect. You can't be choosing favorites and picking sides. You know, that's not my job as the filmmaker. My job is to get the subject and rip it apart from all angles, and then it's up to the viewer to make any decisions they want to make after that. It's not my – I'm not here to lecture or to preach or anything like that. I'm here to have fun. So so I always like ripping a subject apart from every angle.
Was this a particularly challenging topic to kind of work with your actors on, or were they just full on into it?
Well, it was challenging in that some of the agents over here – who didn't actually read the script, they just saw the title and freaked out, wouldn't send me talent. So hard to get actors in to audition. But once the actors actually read the script and they got the joke, some of them don't get – look, my stuff is a little bit, I suppose, left field a little bit. So sometimes the actors don't get the jokes and so they don't like it so much. But when the actors get the jokes and they come in for the audition and that, it's all cool, and they meet me and they see that it's all, you know, professionally done, and everything that we do is all very, you know, very professional, and everything's done absolutely 100% by the book. So they realize that, oh, okay, they get it then, you know what I mean? So it was a little bit hard in casting one or two of the roles. But look, I was thrilled with the cast that I ended up getting. I think especially Rebecca, who played the wife, who I've never worked with before, she absolutely just – she didn't just hit it out of the park. She hit it out of the state – like just out of the state, you know. She killed it. She was really, really cool, and she was awesome to work with. So I'm looking forward to working with her again. But, there was parts of it that were a little bit tricky to get people in. But, you know, look, like I say, I don't make a project unless I'm 100% happy – with the actors and the crew that I have at my disposal. So, you know, if it takes me an extra few weeks to do castings, then it takes me an extra few weeks. I just, I'm always of the belief where an audience can forgive a lot of things, but one thing that an audience can never forgive is a bad performance or bad casting. So you always got to make sure that you're really, really fussy with your actors, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned the wife, because she was fantastic. Just the way, I mean, the switch from being like, yeah, we're not for that, to, you know, how she arcs her character to the point of just like, yeah, I don't want to spoil anything, but I appreciated just the subtlety in which her whole demeanor changed.
Yeah, no, she was terrific. And she was one that, well, I mean, I really had no choice but to hire her, because when she came in for the audition, she was pretty much like you see her on screen. She hit it out of the park right out of the bat. You know, she just knew exactly what the jokes were and what I was going for, and she just killed it. So there was I felt a little bit sorry for the actors that were coming in after her, because I kind of knew in my head that unless they're going to be Meryl Streep, they ain't got much of a chance, you know, because Rebecca just killed it. So, yeah, she was great. But like I say, I was thrilled. All of them were really, really good. So, yeah, they all did a wonderful job for me.
That's awesome. One of the things that I really appreciate when I watch your films, so much of your comedy has a deliberate pacing to it, whether it's your delivery or the actor's delivery. You know, is that something that you work through in rehearsals, or is it just something that is in the script and they naturally get it?
Well, it's probably a little bit of both. I do rehearse them really hard, because I think we've gone through this once before. I'm really anal about my scripts. So I'm not one of those directors that are like, oh, yeah, do what you want. Improv is fine. I'm not like that at all. You have to be word perfect when you work for me. So some actors like that, some actors don't. So, which is fine. That's totally fine. Everyone's got a different way of working. But to answer your question, I really do rehearse them hard. So there's a lot of rehearsing, because we don't have a lot of money to make the film. So when we film it, it's really got to be straight in. Let's get it done. Let's knock it over and we're out, because we just don't have money to muck around. So we spend a lot of time rehearsing, and I really go through it with them almost word by word to make sure that, like you say, because the timing and the pace and all that sort of stuff is super important, especially when you're doing comedy, but with all film, but mainly comedy. So mm-hmm. I really do rehearse them hard and make sure that they understand fully exactly what I want from them. So, yeah.
Has there been any comedy either, you know, in Australia or in the States up here that has really made you look at comedy a little differently?
Well, I'm a huge Muppets nerd, so I was really thrilled yes. to see the Happy Time Murders. I was really happy that Brian Henson directed that because it shows that the man's got a sense of humor and that he can make fun. Like, I mean, I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard some of the older guys that did the Muppets were suing him because they say it ruins the whole, you know, the whole thing of the Muppets and it wrecks their reputation and all. And I disagree 100%. I think it enhances it because it shows that they can do stuff for the kids. But what about kids like me that grew up with that? We want something more now. And they absolutely delivered that in spades. There were some scenes in that just had me I was in the cinema just rolling with laughter. I loved that film to bits. And I'll tell you another great comedy film that I saw, which was a little New Zealand film, which I wouldn't have been released in America. But if you jump on, you know, your download site, whether it be iTunes or wherever you get your films from, it was called The Breaker Upperers. And it was a really, really funny. New Zealand makes some really, really funny comedy films. They made one last year with Sam Neill called Hunt of the Wilder People, mm-hmm. which was really, really fantastic. And then they've made this one as called The Breaker Upperers. So New Zealand are making some really funny comedy films at the moment, which is a wonderful thing. So a little country like New Zealand that has only 4 million people in it as a population are punching out some really funny films. So, yeah, there's been a few good ones come out this year, absolutely.
It's fun to kind of listen to recommendations to see what people are watching, what people are, I guess, learning from, being challenged by. And I remember when, at least here, when they were running the trailers for the Muppet movie, well, not the Muppet movie, but the Happy Time Murder yeah. movie, I don't think they attached Brian Henson's name on it at first.
No, well, I specifically, because I think you're absolutely right. I saw the trailer in the theater when I went to see another film. I saw the trailer and I'm like, I have to see that movie. And I looked it up because, again, I'm a nerd. So I go straight onto IMDb because I want to know who's involved in this, who wrote it, to see if it was any of the old school guys, you know. So I immediately went on IMDb and I saw Brian Henson was director and I was like, yes, this is going to be fantastic. So I was just so thrilled that it was him doing it and not somebody else, because it shows that he's got a real good sense of humor, you know, and he can make fun out of himself and out of, you know, I think it's a really wonderful thing. And the film, I mean, let's be honest, it's never going to win an Oscar. But I tell you what, there's sometimes you just want to go to the cinema and just switch off your brain and have a movie wash over you. You know what I mean? And something you can just switch yeah. off your brain and just laugh, and it's just fun and it's just silly and it's rude and it's good. And that's what that film was. You know, you could just switch off your brain and just have a good time, you know, so it's cool.
Yeah. Let the silly string wash over
Absolutely,
you.
Man. Absolutely. Like, I mean, Will Ferrell is probably the best example of that, to be honest. I mean, none of his films are going to win any Oscars anytime soon. But for the most part, and I'm generalizing here, for the most part, you can go to the theater. You know what you're going to see is going to be humorous. It's probably not going to be roll on the floor with laughter funny, but it's going to be funny. You can switch off your brain and just have a good time for 90 minutes, you know, and sometimes that's what you need as a human being. You know, there's so many stresses in the world. Sometimes that's just exactly what you need.
No, that's a good word. Words with God, brought to you by Silly String and Happy Time Murders.
Well, that's what we're all about here at Beer Nuts Productions. Like I say, you know, comedy is our number one genre. So we've done I was having a chat to someone the other day, and like we've done 8 comedy sketches, audio comedy sketches, which people can download now in a bundle package, which hasn't been available oh, cool. before. So he was actually going on like a 4-hour road trip. So he's like, oh, I'm going to download those 8 audio sketches and have a good laugh on my road trip. So so like I say, we've got something hopefully comedy wise that caters for everybody. So it's not all mockumentaries that we do. I do a range of different things, which I think is important, because I don't want people to ever get bored with what I do.
Right. Well, and I'd imagine too, as a producer and creative person, you want to flex your wings in different ways and try new things and new genres that might not work well in film and video, but it works well in audio.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, because there's certain things that you can do. I mean, even though it's not audio, I suppose The Simpsons are the best example. I mean, there's things that they can do with The Simpsons being a cartoon that they could never do live action. And the same goes for audio. You know, I can have all kinds of crazy things happening in an audio sketch that I just can't have in a video sketch just because it's just physically, humanly not possible. So, you know, so, yeah, it's a different kind of comedy, different kind of freedom that you have doing it. But again, then on the flip side, you can't do certain jokes because they're visual jokes. So you have to, so it's, you know, pros and cons, swings and roundabouts. But the main thing, like I say, I just don't want people getting bored with what I produce. So it's important to me to always mix it up and make it different.
So you're making your next film. You've got a budget of, I don't know, a huge budget, huger than you've ever worked with. Who do you cast as your lead and the person opposite of the lead? Who would you want to work with if you had all the budget in the world?
Oh, look, if I had all the budget in the world, it's pretty simple for me because I'm in love with her at the minute, and that's Anna Kendrick. She is just the best. I love pretty much everything she does. I think she's got this wonderful, quirky quality to her, but she's a damn fine actress. I mean, she is a solid act. I mean, you can see from the range of films she's done, she does a lot of comedy stuff and quirky comedy stuff, but she can do serious. She can do a little bit of everything. I think that she's a wonderful actor. So I would absolutely hire Anna Kendrick. If I had the money, she'd be number one on my wish list to work with, because I think she'd be I follow her on Instagram and her posts are quite funny. So I think she'd be a pretty cool chick and easygoing. I think that she'd be cool to work with. So her, and who would I have opposite her? I'll tell you what, I'd go for something a bit different. I'd have Amy Adams, because I think that, again, I think it's, I don't know how that woman hasn't won an Oscar, because again, she's just an amazing actor, Amy Adams. So I'd have like a sister sort of comedy where Amy Adams is like the older sister to Anna Kendrick, and they could go on a road trip somewhere and a bunch of crazy things could happen to them.
That would be an entertaining film.
Yeah, because like I say, you've got Anna Kendrick as the quirky sort of younger sister, and you could have Amy Adams as the more sensible, straighter sister, and they could get themselves into all kinds of shenanigans. For that to happen, I'd have to win the Powerball. So, you know, that... And I'd have to convince their agents to be in a Beer Nuts Productions film. So there'd be a few hurdles to jump, but, you know, if I've got the coin, money answers all the problems, doesn't it? So, you know, we'd be okay.
Money would just elevate the brand of Beer Nuts Productions.
that's right. They, you know, I mean, when you see some films sometime, like some actors in some films, and you think to yourself, what were they thinking when they signed on to make that film? What on earth were they thinking? And then you think about it and you go, oh, they were thinking paycheck. That's what they were thinking. So, actually, I'm a big Oasis, the band Oasis. I really enjoy their music. And there was an interview with Noel Gallagher and a UK like a pop diva called Leona Lewis or something like that. I can't quite remember her name that well. It's something Lewis. I think it's Leona. It doesn't really matter. Anyway, she did a cover of an Oasis song and turned it into like this real sort of sweet kind of track. And the guy said to Noel Gallagher, what did you think of Leona Lewis's cover of Stop Crying Your Heart Out? And he goes, I'll tell you what I think of it. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. I thought that was great. He does really good interviews, Noel Gallagher, because he just really doesn't care. He just says it how it is, and I dig that. I like that a lot.
I mean, there's something to be said in this day and age where just flat, brutal honesty is refreshing.
Yeah, and that's what he does. I saw another interview him once too, and oh man, this made me laugh. I don't necessarily agree with him, but it did make me laugh. Someone said to him, how would you sum up rock and roll? And he said, I'll tell you what it's not, Green Day. Oh, bam. Just imagine the members of Green Day sitting there just minding their own business, and they get a drive-by from Noel Gallagher. It's like, what do we do to deserve that? You know? It's just,
the proper response is, what has he done lately? No.
I love watching his interviews. They're very, very funny because he just, like I say, he just doesn't care. And Liam Gallagher's the same, you know. They just don't care. They just tell it how it is. And I dig that. I think there's, like you say, there's a lot to be said for just people just being honest and just not beating around the bush. And, well, again, I suppose just going back to my own work, and the latest film, the prostitution film, there's quite a bit of that going on in my film because that's sort of what I like. So, you know, there's a lot of brutal honesty in that particular piece as well.
Well, and what's interesting, too, is you touched on something just a minute ago where you're saying, I don't quite agree with what they're saying, but it's really funny. And being able to separate almost the beliefs with being able to just see something that's funny, something that's humorous, and almost being allowing yourself to be joke-centered as opposed to everything must conform to what I actually believe in order to find humor in it.
No, well, that's true. Absolutely. You know, I mean, I like Green Day. I've got most of their albums. I think they're a great band, but it doesn't mean that what Noel Gallagher said wasn't funny. He obviously doesn't like them for whatever reason and thought it would be humorous to give them a drive-by. So he did. And I think that's kind of funny. So, you know, it just, it tickled me. But but you are correct. It really is important to separate them. And like when I'm writing a script, it's like I said earlier, it's really important that I don't put my own point of view in there. You know, I'm sure it probably makes its way in there somehow, but it's more important to me to make the jokes and to make it funny and to let people make up their own minds of different things. My job is to entertain, and then if there's any other messages or anything like that, that's always secondary to me. I always go by the slogan of jokes are king, so the joke comes first, 100%. I suppose if you were to put it to a musical equation, I guess the joke is your melody and then you need the other instruments to go around it, you know, but without a good melody, what have you got? You know what I mean? So, yeah.
That's really an interesting point. I like that.
I haven't gone too deep and philosophical on you, Chris, have I?
You know, it's probably early there, late here. It's the perfect combination for deep philosophy with Goff and Chris.
Fair enough.
So what's next? What is the target of your humor next? Televangelists?
Well, funny that you should mention that because in one of the audio sketches that I've done, it's Beer Nuts Productions' brand new range of comedy characters. And one of them is Bruce, the evangelical ambulance officer. So people can see what happens when a crazy evangelical bloke becomes an ambulance officer. Let's just say, doesn't end well for the bloke having the heart attack.
Oh, that sounds great.
But you know, that's like I say, that's in the comedy characters in the audio section of the Beer Nuts Productions website. But as far as the next film goes, there is a script written, so the script is done. So it'll just be hopefully early in the new year I'll be able to get started on production on that one. It depends on how sales go for the last film. So obviously, I want people to download and enjoy as many of my productions and works as possible, so I'm able to get busy making the next project, because that's what it's all about.
So every time you make a new film, you have paid for it with sales that have come before?
Yeah, well, that's my basic business model. It's not really something a financial planner would probably advise, but it's worked well for me in the past. So it's important for people out there to know there's no third-party involvement with what I do. I'm the production company and the distributor and everything all in one. I'm like my own little mini Netflix type thing. So I produce it, I make it myself, I distribute it. And so it's important for people to know that when they do download something from the Beer Nuts Productions website, all of that goes into the production account to make the next film so that, you know, I can entertain you guys with another hopefully humorous piece of nonsense.
Nice. That's cool. I'm glad that you have that approach to your craft so that you can have a business model around it so that you're not just, you know, giving it away for free for exposure, you know, that kind of thing.
No, well, it's important. I mean, I also believe, I don't mean to sound arrogant in any way, but I also believe that my work is good enough for people to, you know, throw a few bucks my way to enjoy it. You know, I don't think that, I don't think it should be put up there for free, because I think that it's of a high enough quality that people would, you know, they pay for their downloads on other websites, you know, your Netflix and your iTunes and that sort of stuff. And I'm of the belief that my work is of a good enough quality to match it with anything that else is out there. And of course, you know, I want to make it also clear that people aren't being overcharged or ripped off in any way. They're all really, really inexpensive downloads, and all the films go for around 25 minutes. So, you know, you get value for your money as well. So it's important, obviously, that people know that when they jump on the website too, so they don't think it. But also, the other thing as well, we do have a donation button on there. So if you do think I am grossly undercharging for my craft, you can also throw a few extra bucks my way if that's something else you want to do in this season of giving, being the festive season.
Absolutely. Oh, that's great. So, Goff, any plans for the rest of the year into the new year?
Well, no, it's just all about marketing and making sure as many people know about the new film, Prostitution, The Untold Story, as possible, and making sure they all hit up the Beer Nuts Productions website. So it's just all about marketing for the next probably 3 or 4 weeks over the over the Christmas New Year's period. So, yeah, no, that's me for the next couple of weeks.
Fantastic. Well, I just have one more question for you.
Absolutely.
So what comedy would never be made in today's world?
Well, that's a very good question. Well, my first thought goes to old school sort of blackface kind of stuff. You'll never, ever see anything of that nature again. The reason I think of that is that there was actually a documentary on the TV, because I'm a big documentary watcher as well. I like that sort of genre. And it was about Sammy Davis Jr. and about his life. And he started up, and I thought it was kind of funny in an ironic way, that he started up as a little kid doing blackface. The dude's already black. I mean, how much blacker do we need to make the man? You know what I mean? Just seemed hilarious to me that was a thing. But, I mean, we're talking back in the 1940s, so it's a very, very – I mean, it's almost 100 years ago, you know what I mean? So it's a way different time now. But, yeah, so I think that kind of sort of comedy is dead and buried, which, I mean – I was too young for that kind of stuff anyway, so I don't really have an opinion here or there about it, because I'd never actually have sat down and watched any of it. But that would be the number one thing, I think. But I'm a firm believer in that anything is funny and anything is okay if it's told with the funny bone. If it's told with humor at its core, then it's okay. It's when something is nasty or malice or said with harmful intent, that's when I don't like it. So it's really important to me. Like, I mean, in my films, I make fun out of everybody, but I would like to think that I do it in a fun way, and there's never any malice or hurtful intent with anything that I write, because, you know, I'm always trying to make people laugh. So I think that as long as people say something from the funny bone, then I think it's okay. You know, it might not be everybody's cup of tea, it might not be to everybody's taste, but they had good intentions, and I think that's, at the end of the day, that's what matters. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I lied. I have one more question for you.
Okay. Yes, yes.
So someone's going to sit down and write a comedy script for their next film.
Yep.
What advice would you give them?
Hire me, and I'll write it for them.
Well played, sir. Well played.
No, that's a joke, obviously. But, well, look, like I said earlier, jokes are king. So if you're going to write a comedy script, you obviously need to have your story in mind of what you want it to be about. But then you can't get bogged down in the incidentals. You need to make sure that at all times that your jokes are coming through loud and clear. You know what I mean? So, I mean, if you look at a film, take a film like Dumb and Dumber. I mean, everybody's seen Dumb and Dumber, right? I mean, jokes are king in that film. the storyline progresses and there is a storyline in there, but it's buried deep, deep, deep down behind, like, joke after joke after joke after joke. I think that's probably one of the better examples you can give is a film like that, because jokes are king. That's, you know, I mean, every second sentence is a joke, you know? So, yeah, that's probably the best example I can give of how, you know, the storyline really came secondary when it came to that film. But it doesn't matter because it's funny as hell, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Well, and such a great example of all the different types of jokes, from visual to, you know, audio to sound, all of that is present in that entire film.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's actually, I know it sounds ridiculous saying it about a film like that, but it's actually a really well-made film because of that exact reason. I mean, it really is a laugh a second, not a laugh a minute. I mean, and even though, like, there's scenes in that film where you know what's that, that's the essence of great comedy, is you know what's going to happen, you know the punchline, but you still laugh anyway. I mean, Monty Python were great with that kind of stuff. You knew what was going to happen. You knew that in that sketch that tree is going to explode, but you still laughed anyway, even though you knew that tree was going to explode. You know, that's what makes great comedy, because the timing is such that it's so well made and so well done that it still manages to make you laugh.
So speaking of Monty Python, was Bruce the ambulance bloke, was that inspired by, you know, the Bruce sketch from Monty Python?
No, actually, that was actually inspired by, there's an English comedian called Ross Noble, and he did a bit one day, I forget what it was, it wasn't an ambulance officer, but he was making fun out of the American evangelicals. And I just thought to myself, well, I was sitting there enjoying his show. When I left the show, I was just thinking to myself, well, what job would an evangelical person be really, really bad at for obvious reasons? And I thought, well, an ambulance officer, because he, instead of, like, getting out the defibrillator, he's going to pray for his resurrection, you know? So it's not going to end well. So that's just where that silly idea came from. But in that particular sketch, I've got 14 different comedy characters. So there's, like, there's Bruce, the arachnophobic spider. So he just constantly lives in fear, you know?
Of himself.
Of himself.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, that caught me off guard.
So, yeah, there's quite a few in there. I'm just trying to think, because I wrote that one a little while ago now. But yeah, there's 14. There's Simon, the sexually confused turnip.
Poor Simon.
So, yeah, and there's Candy, there's Candy, who's the singing accountant that also happens to have a foot fetish. So, you know, it's just, like I say, it's just a really silly, fun little audio sketch that that me and a couple of the voice actors that I work with punched out one day. So yeah, no, it was a lot of fun actually to do that one. It's probably one of my favorite audio pieces that I've done, because it's just pure nonsense, which I kind of like. That's sort of my go.
There's something to be said about just the joy of pure nonsense.
Absolutely, man. Hey, look, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, and like I said earlier, I'm a comedy nerd, and I'm mad for Monty Python. And like 75% of their stuff is just pure nonsense, and it's genius funny. And you know, the funny thing about it is it doesn't date, because nonsense is nonsense. Whether it was made in 1970 or 2018, nonsense is still nonsense. So it's timeless in a way, which makes it even more special.
And we can pile on layers of meaning onto the nonsense all, you know, across time. And we're just, yeah, it's great.
It really is.
Well, Goff, thank you so much for returning to Getting Work to Work and sharing about your new film at beernutsproductions.com, and sharing a little bit more just about your business model, about your outlook on life, and making me cry a little bit in laughter. You know, I got a little tear going on.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. So yeah, just thank you for having me on the show. I really do appreciate your time, and just everybody out there that's listening, jump onto, like you say, beernutsproductions.com and download some of our nonsense, and hopefully you get a good laugh and you enjoy yourself.
Awesome. Thanks, Garth.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you.
That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It means a lot to me that you do. Starting this week, we're having 3 episodes a week. We're going to do interviews on Mondays and then the same monologues on Wednesdays and Fridays. Just got so much that I want to share with you. Not to overload you, but just to have a good time producing content for you and sharing interviews with great people like Goff. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative professionals, and entrepreneurs? You can send them to gwtw.co for the entire list of 212 episodes, or you can find the 75 most recent by having them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work or know someone who should be on the show? Maybe need some advice, encouragement, or just want someone to say hi to? Drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm Chris at chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at CM Studios. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.